You ready? Let's do it.
NBA, most sports in the States. It's just it ain't going nowhere.
It ain't going nowhere. No, that's exactly right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. As Miles said, this will be, well, I guess our recap on like what sort of happened in the NBA really in the last, well, you could probably say month because it went so quickly. The draft.
Oh, man. That just, yeah, did the finals only just finish, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago, and it's just been absolutely bonkers since then.
With the draft, the free agency, and the trades, and then the season's going to start soon. I think I read somewhere that I think the Lakers are going to have the shortest offseason in any team in history. It's like 58 days or something silly like that.
Which so obviously, the Miami Heat don't count in that either, do they?
Well, this is classic. I don't know. Of course they do. But what I'm saying, this is classic. This is classic SportsCenter. So it's LeBron. You know, if it's not about LeBron, it's not about anybody else. So.
No, that's true. Yeah, no, the
but is, no, the, no, no, no.
LeBron think, James infomercial on ESPN just rolls on.
I think the reason they no, I actually think the reason they pointed well, yeah, there is LeBron, but I think the reason they pointed that out was because, I think they are having early preseason games compared to Miami, of what I read. So
there's only two pre teams are only having two preseason games to start with.
That's right, but I thought I read some. But I mean, it's probably classic LeBron. Anyway, that's, you know, ESPN just seems to love that LeBron James juice. So
no, that's right. And now it's LeBron James spliced with a little bit of LA Lakers juice. So it's it'll just be constant bombardment all the way around.
Oh well, it's good for me. I don't really care if we keep winning ships. I don't really care.
Yeah. You got enough banners up in the bloody rafters there.
No, we don't. We got to beat that Boston team. We could have plenty more.
Well, I guess we'll see now. Your boys signed on, so and LeBron signed. It was another another extension. So you know that you've got your nucleus back anyway.
Well, we'll touch on the draft first. I think, I mean, the draft was before the free agency. Look, we'll say that I guess the top three, because that's sort of what everybody was concerned of, where the top three was going to go. So top three was Anthony Edwards was drafted first overall by the Timberwolves. James Wiseman went to the Warriors and LaMelo Ball went to the Hornets. We've already obviously talked about that, but but your thoughts anyway?
I thought that was the order they were going to go anyway. Yeah. I just did not think that LaMelo Ball was going to go number one. I just didn't think that.
It was either one or three for me. Like it was. If it
oh yeah, there was no way. Yeah, there was no way that Golden State were going to pick him. It just would have been. It would have been very interesting if the Timberwolves had picked Wiseman at number one to see what the Warriors would have done. Would they have just gone straight up and just taken Anthony Edwards as a bit of a replacement for Klay Thompson for this year?
I mean, I would think so, but I think every fit where it went where it's supposed to be, I guess.
Except the pick four, I think. That was an early slap. Patrick Williams, who hasn't started a game for Florida State, gets picked up number four by Chicago. I don't think many people seen that coming, but that was just an odd, very odd choice for such a high pick.
I mean, he did say on your mock draft that I kept following, he did shoot up there, but no one, and I mean no one had him in the top four. I think they had him around the 10th or 12th. So that was, look, he's supposed to be an explosive kid. He finished top five, a top five sort of prospect. Or ranked top five, sort of, I guess, for Florida State. And he was one of those top 40 prospects coming out of high school. But, like, he's exactly what you just said then. Like, you know, he hasn't played many games, if any. So,
That was just a surprise that a guy that just hasn't, I think it was whether he didn't start a game at all last year or he hasn't started a game at all for Florida State. So it was just, yeah, I think they'd sort of had him projected 9 or 10. A good player.
Yeah, but yeah.
That for me sort of shunted Obi Toppin down the list a little bit, because I think there was a bit of a consensus that Toppin would have been that 4, 5, or 6 range, and then he ended up getting picked up number 8 by the Knicks.
Which that's the first time I've actually seen their fans happy for a while in a draft. So New York fans.
Well, yeah, and that's they're happy. Obviously doesn't have as much potential as what they've had recently. Like, you know, RJ Barrett sort of last year. I think they were just disappointed in RJ Barrett because they were hoping that they were going to get the number 1 pick and a certain Williamson going to the world's most famous arena. So I think they're a little bit shirty about that. But Obi Toppin is a New York native, and that was his big sort of thing. Like, he couldn't believe that he dropped down to the Knicks.
Yeah.
He's ready to get to work with the I think now that they've waived a couple of power forwards, so they're down to about 11 power forwards on their roster now. So they're doing well. They're starting to drop out.
Oh, they'll start waving a few sooner or later.
Well, they already waived a bunch. Yeah. Throughout the free agency period. They did waive a couple of power forwards, but they waived. I think it was Wade Ellington too. So, they waived a lot of people. So they're clearing.
They definitely waived.
They're doing the same thing as what they've done the last few years, clearing cap space to try and lure that big whale to New York. And whether it's going to happen or not, I think it's.
That's exactly right. A surprise for me is how low Tyrese Halliburton dropped. He dropped to number 12.
I think that was another one too. He was definitely projected as a top 10.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a great pickup.
Sacramento picked up a super. I was hoping that he was going to keep falling. To the next pick to go to New Orleans, like when he went there, and for me, I was a little bit sort of miffed by the Kyra Lewis pick by the Pelicans, because at the moment, you know, we've got we're like the Knicks but with point guards. Like, we've got like 6 point guards on the roster at the moment, so that was very strange. A pick I would have preferred, somebody like an Aaron Naismith. Or even somebody as not so much as proven, but I think had more potential in Cole Anthony, who ended up going to Orlando a couple of picks later. That's what I would have preferred. But the way that it went, I just would have thought naturally that Aaron Naismith, the small forward out of Vandy, would have been a better fit with New Orleans. But they picked up Kyra Lewis, and yeah, that's what they're going to run with. Whether they'll run a lot of 3 guard sets, with Zion at the 4, that's probably the way that they'll look at running.
Most of it was sort of pretty straightforward. The guy RJ Hampton that came over and played for the Breakers here for the NBL, he got picked up. Firstly, he got picked up by the Bucks at 24. And then he was traded sort of twice. So
yeah. Did you see the reaction by his dad that they were handing it was like pretty much a trade straight away. They were handing him the Milwaukee Bucks hat, and then he grabbed it and goes, "Whoa, get out of here."
And after, because then he got dealt to the Pelicans, and then the Nuggets picked him up. So
he's Denver at the moment.
The rest of it, I guess, was sort of pretty straightforward. The Pistons, I know we'll talk about them later, but they did draft well. They're Killian Hayes from Germany. I don't know much about him, but he's supposed to be – he was picked at 7 or in that sort of top 10 for a reason. He's got pretty good solid footwork, and he's a great defender of what I read. So they need a point guard because, they have Derrick Rose, but do they still have Derrick Rose? Actually, I haven't looked that up.
I can only assume that he's still there. I haven't heard. There was a lot of Derrick Rose speculation over the off season, but at this point in time, I'm still thinking that Derrick Rose is a part of the Detroit Pistons for the meantime.
Yeah, I think he is. I'm very certain he is. So, but look, I mean, other than that, I think we're all. It was a soft draft. It was a soft, I guess, class, so to speak. So,
I think that was it. I think it was the three guys at the top of the draft, and then there's a lot of potential, but not a lot of certainty.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of, and all of them, you could say the top three, you can't say there's certainty there, not yet. And that's not from their fault. It's because of the COVID sort of season they had in college. The only one that's really had so many games is, and it's not, I think he's only had 12, is LaMelo. The rest of them really haven't played that many games at all.
No, and it's the fact that they haven't played any, a lot of them haven't played any basketball at all since March, since February. LaMelo Ball had he got injured playing here for Illawarra, so he hasn't played since even before that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So it, they're all going on potential, really. I mean, we've only got snippets, but they're all really going on potential because none of them had a full season.
No, and that's it. Yeah, and that's the thing that nobody. Yeah, there was obviously no NCAA tournament, so yeah, a lot of times draft stock rises and falls throughout that period as well. This off season was later, draft was later, free agency was later, so yeah, there was always going to be that extended period of no play. But that's the thing. It's a mad rush to get everything rolling now. So free agency and trades just went absolutely crazy. Just for clarification, as of right now, Derrick Rose is a part of the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, that, I don't think if he has a half decent season, I don't think that's gonna last. Someone like the Clippers will pick him up, I think, but. I think they still got moves in on the Clippers. We'll talk about that later. You're right. So quickly went straight on to November 20th at 6 p.m. their time. Well, 6 p.m. is supposed to be the time. I'm sure when we talk about the deals, a lot of these deals got done at 6:01, 6:02. I don't know how you make hundreds of million dollars in deal in a minute, but
no. Well, I guess that's always the part of it where it's they don't sort of. Call it tampering or anything like that. They just they talk to the teams and they know the deals are about to be put in place. And yeah, then once the free agency starts, like you said, at 6:01, then it's just straight up, it's go time.
While I'm fixing my mic for the 50th time, are we gonna? Do you want to just run them through in order of that the top free agents, in terms of where they're ranked?
Let's hit it.
Well, so we've got Anthony Davis. And this has only been recent. He's just recently agreed to a 5-year, $190 million max deal with the Lakers.
Right, he couldn't hold out any longer waiting for Giannis to sign up. So he's just I may as well just stay here and stay here in LA.
And for us, look, a lot of people called it, and it was probably going to be straightforward. But we're really getting him in 5 years. Well, 5 years. So hopefully he stays. Excuse me for 5 years, but we're getting him at his prime, at his absolute prime.
Well, that's right. He's gotten over. By the looks of it, over the last few years, he's gotten over that injury history that he sort of had early on in New Orleans, where he was, a little bit. You have a look at him now, and you see the progression of muscle mass and weight that he's just put on over the last 7 to 8 years. You have a look at him when he was at Kentucky. Boy, he was skinny, and then
it was
a good thing. It was that slow progression of putting on the weight. It wasn't just. One or two off seasons where he just bulked up and looked jacked.
Yeah.
It was slowly putting on that weight. And it looks like now he may have gotten over that sort of little bit of frailty that he had, I guess, with New Orleans. Those first three seasons that he was there, he had a lot of problems. He had shoulder problems. He had finger problems. Back problems. He had a lot of sort of injury history, and then once his body sort of got stronger and got used to, you know, being a bit of a bang up player, then those injuries started to get less and less and less.
On the back of that, he's not going to be on this list, but I will say LeBron then signed for a 2-year, $85 million deal, which was probably expected, but that's.
I mean, that was always going to happen. He ain't moving out of LA now.
Your boy, Brandon Ingram, well, your boy, the Pelicans boy, signed a 5-year, $158 million deal.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really have a lot of concerns that he wasn't going to sign that extension. It's the lowest out of that sort of crop of rookie extensions.
Exactly what
that had come out. Just I think it was because he was because of the trade that happened. A lot of the guys that come out that was out of the 2016 draft, Brandon Ingram, but a lot of the guys out of the 2017 draft, like the big names, all signed their rookie extensions pretty much a year early, and they had to wait on Brandon Ingram. The Pelicans had the opportunity to do that last year and sign his rookie extension, but they wanted to see how he would come back from that blood clot. I think it was blood clot in his arms.
Yeah.
A situation that he had when he was brought over to New Orleans and, you know, subsequently gets the most improved player of the league, pretty much doubling his output in all, in all the major categories, shooting the three-pointer better and sort of pretty much being the go-to guy for the Pels last year in a very underwhelming season, I guess, while Zion sort of sat on the sidelines and got healthy. And
I agree. I think I think they waited, you know, deservedly waited because of his blood clot issues. I think he got what he deserved just on the back of that most improved. And I just think they did it well. They, you know, 5-year, 158 isn't too. It's great for him, and it's not too bad of a contract. It's about what, $31.5 million per year on average. So I like the deal. I've always liked the player. I mean, we drafted him second for a reason. He's only 23. So
no, that's right.
I think he needs a little bit more beef on him personally, but
he definitely needs to hit the Popeye's chicken a little bit more.
Just that have that Durant sort of body, because really, like, there's a lot of comparisons between him and Durant. Durant's completely, you know, he's otherworldly, Durant. Like, no one's like him.
At this stage of his career, if you sort of compare them both, Durant was far more advanced.
Yeah,
than what Brandon Ingram was, or, you know, is at the moment, but. Now he's starting to sort of see that potential in what he can be, and you know, hopefully from a Pels standpoint, new coach Zion, seen a few pictures of him lately. He's looking healthy. He doesn't look as thick as what he did towards the end of last season. He's looking pretty good. Lonzo Ball has got a lot to play for. You know, he was part of that 2017 draft class. You know, all of the guys that mattered, I guess, out of that draft class have got their rookie extensions, and Lonzo Ball's just sort of, you know, standing around saying, "Hey, what about me?" But it just hasn't sort of really lived up to that potential of a number two pick for what the Lakers sort of basically got bought into. I think the Lakers got absolutely bought into
hook and sinker
with the hype around Lonzo Ball. So,
and I think now Drew's gone. I will talk about him in a second, but I think this is the only year that he has to prove it. Having no Drew Holiday there, you know, he is going to be that point guard essentially.
That's right. But they've also got, like I said, you know, they've also got a plethora of other point guards there as well. You know, the Kyra Lewis, they've got Eric Bledsoe who plays a little bit of that point guard position as well.
Interesting one. That'll be an interesting one, that one. Which we'll talk about the trades soon. I'll run through a few of these. Fred VanVleet, first guy, I guess, ever that was undrafted to sign a deal over $50, $60 million, but he agreed to a 4-year, $85 million deal.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that was going to be highly sought after. I guess sort of showing that little bit of loyalty towards Toronto Yeah. And like you said, the 85 mil over 4 years is nothing to be sneezed at. So that's
for an undrafted guy, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's right.
So the next one, Gordon Hayward, 4 year deal, $120 million to the Charlotte Hornets.
That was just, that to the team that was mind blowing. To going to Charlotte, like it sort of ended up being a sign and trade type thing.
So sorry, you mean like it's mind blowing for the team or against the team?
No, just Charlotte just doesn't seem like the kind of team that would be going into getting. I think Gordon Hayward's a terrific player. Just it's just the money factor of him going to Charlotte. Yeah, I guess that sort of small market team. Whether or not he's been shunted out at Boston or not, but he clearly wasn't super happy there. At this point in time, declining that qualifying offer that he had, and then going down and doing a sign and trade signing or deal with Michael Jordan and the Charlotte Hornets.
I mean, a lot of people came out and said that when he declined his $30 million deal, that it was ludicrous. I think it was actually, I think it was smart, purely because he's 30 years old, coming off one very terrible injury, well, a couple of injuries at least, just to get that security. He's 30 years old,
right,
to get a 4 year deal. I think it was very smart to decline that deal.
Yeah. And, it's also, that's also pushed out one of the most horrendous deals in NBA history that I guess at the time of signing, I'm talking about Nicholas Batum here, at the time of signing I think there was potential there for him to be a good player because he was playing well in Portland, and then he signed that gigantic, it was a $27 million a year deal or whatever it was, and it was just, man, he just did not live it. That was free money for him.
That's what I'm afraid. I hope this, as we said the same about Batum. I'm very sure we said the same about Batum in terms of he's a good player. I just hope it doesn't turn into that Gordon Hayward, signing a big contract and then it goes nowhere because Gordon Hayward goes nowhere. I just hope it doesn't turn into a Batum thing. Yeah, Batum had $27 million left on his deal, but to fit this in, they had to stretch it over 3 years for $9 million, and he's waived, so that's just dead cap space.
No, that's right. Yeah, it's dead space, and now he's gone to the Clippers. So, they sort of signed him as I guess a back end rotation guy.
He'll be good. He'll be good. You watch. It's just one of those things.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like when he was playing, for Portland, Portland was a good team. Charlotte was a terrible team, and you'd think that he would have had the opportunity to shine there and sort of go a little bit of the stat padding route, but he just didn't live up to anything there at the few years that he was at Charlotte, and now he's been picked up as a back end guy at the Clippers. So I guess that's sort of fortunate for him to be to fall into the lap of a title contender for next year or for this year.
We'll talk about that one later. The next one. There's an interesting story behind this, but Bogdan Bogdanovic signed a four-year, $72 million deal with the Atlanta Hawks. Not before a lot of stuff happened with Bogdan Bogdanovic that he didn't even know, apparently. So,
well, are you buying the fact that he didn't know?
Yeah, I am, because he was overseas, and I really am. You don't think you can't? It needs his approval. He's backtracked on his word. He just said,
think it was a backtracking of words. I think once it all started to come out of, there's the possibility of, of tampering and everything like that, there would have been maybe some back channel conversations going, maybe you should just come out and say, hang on a minute. No, I didn't agree to any of this. So the Bucks wouldn't get into a little bit of trouble. For so-called tampering. So that's just my opinion on that. I think there might have been a little bit of, he was told to backtrack a little bit, so the team that he was potentially going to weren't going to get into the shit a little bit, for tampering. That's just my opinion on it.
I can see that.
That's not based on anything. But that's just what I thought, because that just the way that it came out, you know, it was pretty much straight away after that they'd sort of announced that deal, and they're like, oh, hang on a minute, that the NBA is investigating this deal. Well, you know, from tampering, it's just like, oh, no, hang on a minute. Oh, I haven't agreed to anything. So,
essentially,
I just thought it was coincidental. That's all.
Essentially, for everyone, if they don't know the rule, if you're a restricted free agent like Bogdan was or is up until the Atlanta Hawks signing, you have to agree to the trade. It can't be, I mean, generally, trades are made by ownership/management, and you don't really have a say. Well, 9 times out of 10, you don't have a say.
It's got to be a sign and trade deal.
Exactly. Or as a restricted, you have the right. You have the say that you don't have to be. You don't have to be in that trade if you don't want to be.
Also comes down to that if you're a restricted free agent, then any offer sheet that's put out there, the team that you're currently on gets to match that deal.
In 3 days, they have 3 days to match that deal. So. It was essentially a weird trade. So it was Justin James himself going to the Bucks for. I'm assuming they just did this just to get something out of it. The Kings, but they were going to get Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson.
DiVincenzo. That's right. Yeah, that was the deal. Yeah.
And Ilyasova. So.
Well, I guess the DiVincenzo sort of. That would have been the clincher for me. Like, you know, he's still a young player, still developing. So, you know, you wouldn't really want too much a bar of Ersan Ilyasova. I think he's sort of not so much run his course, but yeah, he's been around the traps a long time now. So I don't know how he would sort of fit in there at Sacramento.
So I created a game with the rest of the trades, because obviously there's a fair bit, and I was thinking of time. I just want to get. So you've got basically 5 words per opinion for everybody I'm about to say. You ready? Okay. I mean, if you can, Christian Wood, Rockets, 3 years, $41 million.
Solid deal, I think.
Yeah. But a solid deal for Christian or a solid deal for the Rockets? Or both?
Both.
Yeah, he's an interesting player. I'm still don't know about him yet. Maybe I haven't seen enough because it's Detroit.
No, I don't think I've seen a little bit of him at New Orleans. And he looked like he was a solid sort of backup player. Yeah. He was a guy a lot of interest was sort of swirling around him.
Yeah.
Throughout this free agency, I didn't really sort of see Houston as a destination for him, but they're pretty much. Completely blowing up their previous philosophies on how to play basketball.
I can't wait to talk about them later. Joe Harris, staying Brooklyn 4 years, $75 million.
Was never going to leave.
Yeah, I agree. That's simple.
A lot of people, there would have been a lot of teams chasing him, but I don't think with what's happening at Brooklyn at the moment, was never going anywhere.
Gallinari, 3 years, $61.5 million to the Hawks.
Love it.
Yeah, he's 32, but he still can produce.
Love it.
Yep.
I've always liked Danilo Gallinari. I hated seeing him leave the Knicks, and then he sort of didn't have a lot of success after he left there. His number sort of dipped off a little bit with injuries, but had a bit of a resurgence this year at OKC, and has totally cashed in.
Hawks are going to be fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That they've made a lot of deals. They've come out really well in this free agency and draft period. And yeah, they've signed some good players, and they've got a little bit of depth now, whereas before they didn't really have that.
Goran Dragic, 2 years, $37.5 million to stay at the Heat.
Big deal. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I thought a key loss for the Heat throughout that finals.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they were never really going to compete without him being there. And then obviously the Adebayo injury there as well throughout the finals. They were essentially a shot duck throughout those finals. But for them to keep Dragic and hopefully he can keep powering on the way that he's been playing really well with the Heat despite some of the injuries he's had lately.
Jeremy Grant, 3 years, $60 million to the Pistons.
Mind blowing.
Yeah, that's all the word I had as well. Mind blowing. Yeah.
Absolutely mind blowing.
We'll talk about the Pistons. I think we got a lot to talk about the Pistons later.
Pistons making deals, but this was actually one of the good deals I thought that the Pistons made. Not a destination I thought that Jeremy Grant would end up in, especially the way that he sort of ended off the season, I guess sort of on a high, the way that he played in the playoffs in Orlando this year with the Denver Nuggets. But, I guess sort of chasing that coin, and whether or not Denver had the money to keep on, to take on that sort of commitment. I guess with him being a benchish, a lot of time coming off the bench, but other than that, I think it's a pretty solid deal, another one of those coveted free agents this year, which it's not really saying a whole lot for this year's free agent class, but
yeah, that's exactly right. Bertans, 5 years, $80 million deal, staying at the Wizards.
I thought he could have got more.
Yeah, I like him. I thought he probably could have got a little bit more. I thought he could have pushed that 100, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I thought he could have got 5-10 million more.
I thought he was about 20, 20 million a year kind of guy. But he's very handy. He's still only 28. He's got a decent range on him too.
Oh yeah. He's probably, I would have thought he would have been the best shooter or one of the best shooters. Yeah. In this free agent class?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Montrezl Harrell, 2 years, $19 million, moving across town to Lakers. Well, not across town, right next door.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. Ring chasing.
Yeah, of course. But it's fine for us because, he's complimentary. We've upgraded. A lot of this went up. There's a few more to come, but we've upgraded.
For sure. Yeah, exactly.
Marcus Morris, 4 years, $64 million for the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't think, complimentary piece, probably a little bit on the high side. But, the Clippers, they're sort of all in still. They definitely lost out by losing Montrezl Harrell. It's sort of come out not long after the deal was done that on his end, it sounded like the Clippers didn't want Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
That just does not make sense to me at all.
And Marcus Morris for 4 years for 64 has to, well, he's cashed in, but surely he has to believe at 31 that surely one of those stars like Paul George or Kawhi is going to stay there past this year.
Past this year, that's right.
He would have to believe that.
He'd have to. But, I think that was probably a little bit on the high side for the contribution that he sort of puts out there. I think both of the Morris twins sort of, cashed in on the a little bit of the L.A. hype this year, in both of those teams being genuine contenders for a ring.
Serge Ibaka, 2 years, $19 million to the Clippers.
Yeah, I think that was, I guess, a sort of straight up fill.
Yeah.
For Montrezl Harrell being gone.
I think it was good fill. I think it was a pretty good deal. I think Serge is very handy. He can be, especially in that playoff stretch. He can be very handy.
Yeah, I think that it'll have to be. They'll monitor his minutes, I guess, throughout the season.
Yeah.
And then they'll definitely be wanting him. I don't know. I guess not so much an energy guy. He's definitely got more of a range on him than what Montrezl Harrell does. He can shoot
good
the
point.
Three. You've got to respect the 3-point range of Serge Ibaka, and he's I just don't buy and believe that Montrezl Harrell is this unbelievably undersized, terrific rebounder. I just don't buy that.
Oh, if I had to choose between those two for the same deal, I'd choose Serge.
He can protect the basket as well. Like Montrezl Harrell is just that run and gun energy guy. And I think the thing that sort of might sort of rub me the wrong way about Montrezl Harrell. I'm not sure if he's the one that come out and said, or other people have sort of come out and given the comparison of this age as Dennis Rodman, and that is just so disrespectful. That is so disrespectful. So disrespectful.
I know. I just love, when you, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows that you're a Dennis Rodman fan. So
that is so disrespectful. I love it. You get on that bandwagon. Dennis Rodman averages like 5.5 points per game for his career. I don't care. Like Montrezl Harrell can score all the basket alley oop dunks that he wants. He can do all that. He's just not. That's so disrespectful.
All right, Marc Gasol for 2 years, $5.5 million.
Yeah, look, that's
the Lakers.
That's me.
Sorry,
just solid.
Yeah,
you know that's to me. I think that's an upgrade. Because the Lakers lost JaVale McGee. Did I have that right? Did JaVale McGee's
Dwight
gone?
But they've
kept. Dwight Howard's gone as well.
Yeah.
He's gone to Philly.
Yeah.
But do they lose JaVale McGee as well, or JaVale McGee stick around to try and scam another ring?
He hasn't re-signed, so I don't know. Well, I don't know where he is at the moment. He hasn't re-signed yet. I don't think they've re-signed him yet. Not that anything I've seen. So. Yeah.
Good. Solid deal. Whether or not it's an upgrade on Dwight Howard, but. I think sort of Dwight Howard now, he's pleased his ego at the moment. Now he's got himself a free ring. Now he can nick off and go to Philadelphia and try and be the man again and try and rekindle his career from 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, we'll skip past that one because that was, he wasn't the next one, but.
Well, that's not a very flattering deal. I don't know, the two big egos at center there, but Dwight Howard, I don't care what anybody says, he still have an ego the size of this house here. I guess that sort of tamed him down, and I'm sure that would tame him down playing with the likes of LeBron James and Anthony Davis and having that second stint there at the Lakers. And it was just funny, was it a couple of hours later, he's just like, purple and gold's where it's at. Yeah. I'm not leaving the Lakers, and then like 2 hours later he signs a Philly.
Yeah, it was literally 2 hours later and he had to delete the tweet. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, staying at the Lakers 3 years, $40 million.
Cashed in.
Yeah, I think he was great in the playoffs.
Very important in those finals.
Correct. That's it. That's short and sweet. We've got heaps to go. D'Anthony Melton stayed at the Grizzlies, 4 years, 35. Still young,
yeah,
22.
He maybe could have got a little bit more if he'd gone somewhere else, but I don't know how much of a market there was for Melton, so he may as well stick around at Memphis. I don't know what they're going to be like this year. The West is stacked. I thought they were a bit of an outlier last year in the way that they sort of, played as well as what they did, probably, fueled by Ja Morant, I guess. But, they had a few injuries. I think, Jaren Jackson Jr. missed a lot of time. And they've got they're like Atlanta. They've got a really good sort of young nucleus, but... I'm not sure how that will sort of hold up in a Western Conference that's got 12 or 13 potential teams trying to fit into 8 spots. And don't even get me started on this playing crap.
We'll talk about that in the next pod. Paul Millsap, 1 year staying at the Nuggets for $10
million. Oh, man, that's...
Okay, I think that's
okay.
Fine.
I think that's a little overpriced. I think, he sort of... He ducked in and out of games. When he was good, he was good. When he was bad, he was horrendous.
Malik Beasley, 4 years, $60 million to stay at the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I guess, he sort of – I thought he was going to be shifting on, but he sort of bounced around a little bit as well. I think he was at Denver before this, but this is – I think that's a good sort of destination for him. Solid sort of can play the two, can play the three. So I don't think there would have been a lot of market for him. So for him to be offered to stay at Minnesota, I think you may as well take it.
Yeah, he's got some issues, but apparently, so that's that. I don't know how that he's got felony charges.
That's only just sort of come out too just recently. Whether or not that sort of put his contract in jeopardy or not, I'm not sure.
But, yeah, that was a very interesting, basically told his family to get off his effing lawn with a shotgun. But anyway, that's digressing away from...
Yeah, well maybe he doesn't want people on his grass. I don't know.
Clint Eastwood. Jacob Potel staying at the Spurs, 3 years, 27. I think that's fine.
Yeah, perfect. Good young player, Jakob Poeltl. Good young Should player. Who in the hell knows what the Spurs are going to be this year?
I don't know. I think they know what they're going to be this year. They're in transition. I think they're in that
sort of purgatory as well. They're not sure. You know, they've still got LaMarcus Aldridge. They've still got DeMar DeRozan, who sort of was staying on there as well. And, just sort of keep the young guys there, like, Derek White, they're keeping Jakob Poeltl. So Lonnie Walker. They've got some young guys there, but they haven't sort of really fulfilled potential just yet.
Our boy Aaron Baines, 2 years.
DeJounte Murray as well. Sorry, as I said, the other one I was thinking of. He hasn't really fulfilled that potential yet.
Yeah, our boy Aaron Baines, 2 years, $14.3 million to the Raptors.
Great deal.
Yeah. For both. Great. I mean, they needed a center.
I think had to get out of Phoenix. I think
a lot of
he was always going to be the backup there behind Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton, yeah.
So, I think that's a great deal. Now they don't have, Marcus Saul there or Serge Ibaka. So I would think that he would step straight into that starting center role. Will.
Yeah. Tristan Thompson, 2 years, $19 million to Boston. I think that's
that's a strange one.
It's a strange one, but I think on that cost, I think that could be potential.
Yeah, what's Tristan Thompson, 30 plus now?
Yeah, 29.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right. Well, that's probably not too much of a bad deal. I think he was just left in Cleveland at this point in time, just racking up stats, not really going anywhere. So for him to go to Boston, I think it's a good thing for his his career move. I think
I'll just finish with a few out of the rest that might sort of stand out. Jay Crowder, 3 years, $30 million to the Suns.
Yeah, that was a strange one. I would have thought he might have stayed on at the Heat, especially that with the run that they made. But Phoenix obviously offered some more money and a little bit more stability. Miami might have only been offering a single year deal, so taken the money and run.
Suns another team that's going to be fun next year, like the Hawks, just to see how it's all going to play out.
Totally
just to see how it's going to play out.
I'm not buying any of the hype around the Phoenix Suns.
No, not from last year. I'm just to see how it plays out with Chris Paul.
But that's what everybody's going off. This 8-0, fairy tale run. Wait until they get back with the big boys and it's a normal season. The stats have sort of come out and said that every time that Chris Paul shifts teams, the first year that he goes on there, they improve win percentage.
Yeah.
So, and that's terrific, but they were well off the pace in the West last year.
They also didn't have eight.
Judging by, they won 8 of their games and still couldn't get into the play-in game.
They didn't have DeAndre Ayton, but for that.
Their first 20-odd games or 25 games of the season, they didn't have him. But, Aaron Baines stepped in well there. But, I'm just not buying the hype. I'm not buying it.
Derek Favors moved from New Orleans to Jazz, 30 years, 27.
He's gone back to Utah. I thought his legs were shot. He's still a good player, but just in a run and gun type offense that New Orleans was playing last year, he looked 5 steps slower than everybody. Maybe playing more of a methodical half court offense, he might be a little bit more productive back at Utah.
Dario Saric, 3 years, 27 to the Suns as well.
Yeah, I like Saric.
I like that.
I think that's good value too. I think that's really good value. Average of nine mil a year. That's super value.
Rajon Rondo, 2 years, 15 to the Hawks.
Yeah, didn't really see that one coming. I thought he might have stuck around and tried to score himself another ring with the Lakers. But solid move by Atlanta sort of to get a little bit of veteran stability, with a young team.
They were sort of the main ones that stood out for me, except Hassan Whiteside just got a 1 year, $10 million deal. I think it was about a 10 or 11 with the Kings.
Where he was drafted. 5 million. So. Yeah, where it all started. Another one I thought too that sort of stuck out a little bit to me was the Jordan Clarkson 4 years, 52 to stay at Utah. I think he's going to be a big part of what they do next year. Jordan Clarkson.
I like Jordan Clarkson. Look, I suppose it's pretty fair. He's still young. I don't know if that's a little bit overs, but that's my only concern. But it all depends on.
Look, 4 years, 52, man. That's what, 12 or so a year. Like, that's not bad.
It depends what happens with Conley, I think.
Can still be it like he did last year. Be that spark off the bench. I think that's really good. The way that he sort of fit in there. When he was traded there from Cleveland, like he was going nowhere at Cleveland.
No, that's right.
I guess quickly speaking of Cleveland, another one that with the Cavs, Andre Drummond picked up his $28 million option to stay with Cleveland. So. Whether or not he's just going to be with no Tristan Thompson there, like he's going to be that starting sort of center, and he's going to be getting a lot of rebounds.
Oh, I like him. I've always
Andre Drummond.
I think on a good team he could be
zero range, but an unbelievable rebounder and a good scorer under the basket.
Under the basket, exactly. So we'll move on, I guess, sort of the trades. You're probably going to have to go a little bit back to the draft night of some certain trades that happened. Up until obviously the big trades.
When it came to sort of some of these deals,
The first one I thought was pretty interesting for both sides. The Sixers, this was on draft night, so the Sixers got Seth Curry and traded Josh Richardson and a 36th overall pick with Dallas.
That's some price for Seth Curry.
It is, but they really needed a sharpshooter.
Oh no, absolutely. And Josh Richardson wasn't it. I really like Seth Curry as being the second Curry brother. Sort of just bouncing around the league. But I'd really like to see some form of stability, with Seth Curry, and hopefully he can sort of stick around there at Phoenix. I thought his season with Dallas this year, I thought they definitely would have kept him around. Yeah. But obviously, they've acquired Josh Richardson, so I thought Seth Curry was a really good fit there at Dallas.
I think he could be a good fit at the 76ers.
He's a good fit anywhere. He's a terrific catch and shoot player.
He sort of
lived up to the billing of being a Duke Blue Devil, and having a really good. Well, he was a lot more highly recruited than what Steph Curry was. It just sucks that he's bounced around the league so often. I just hope that he could. Yeah, he's sort of that gun for hire at the moment. What does he shoot? 43-44% from the field. Three-point and a super catch and shoot player. So it's a good deal for Philadelphia.
Ricky Rubio going back to the Timberwolves. I guess where it all sort of started. It was a three-team trade, but he, among all the picks, he went to the Timberwolves, and Oklahoma got James Johnson.
Yeah, that's right. Look.
It's a weird one. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a bit of a strange one because the T-Wolves have still got D'Angelo Russell there, who likes the ball in his hands. And now will they shift him to sort of play a little bit more of the two guard and have Ricky Rubio there as more of your ball distributor? I'm not sure how that move, him going back to Minnesota, where apparently he was much beloved before he was traded a few years ago. But yeah, I guess that's sort of a bit of a changing times there at Minnesota. So they've got Anthony Edwards. So I would think that Rubio could be leading that second group around it and coming off the bench.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have to.
I just don't think there's an option. They could probably play same sort of thing. A lot of three guard sets. you know, with Anthony with Edwards there, Rubio and D'Angelo Russell.
A couple of other bigger trades. Well, this wasn't big, but Trevor Reza was traded during the draft. I think this was more of a sign and trade anyway, when he was picked up by the Pistons. But I think Trevor Reza's moved twice since then, if I believe.
I think he's moved three times. That makes him now the most traded player in NBA history.
Yeah, that was just a sign and trade because Christian Woods is at the Rockets. So there's probably really not much to touch on there. The one I wanted to touch on, which is
Covington is a good signing going to Portland. I think they're sort of a little bit of an upgrade there. Like I think that's a good signing, whether or not they push Melo to the four and play him and play Covington at the three. They're going to be a super dangerous 3-point shooting team next year.
The one I did want to talk about that happened during, I guess this happened during the trade because of obviously the draft because of the draft picks, but the 14 trade between your boys, the Pelicans, the Bucks, the Nuggets, and the Thunder.
Yeah, that was a very confusing sort of deal because it was only going to be Milwaukee and New Orleans, and then all of a sudden, all these other teams just started to get a slice of the pie as well. Made for a very difficult deal to get your head around.
Well, basically, I mean, really, if you want to break it down to players, you guys got Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe. I still think Steven Adams is very underrated.
Oh, hell yeah. That is a front court now. If Zion's going to be playing the four and Steven Adams, that is a front court not to be messed with.
Yeah, I'm very surprised the Thunder did that. I think he's been very consistent there personally.
And if New Orleans can shoot if they can open up the floor and shoot the three well, then Adams and Zion are going to feast around the hoop.
Well, you think you're starting? So you got Adams, Zion, Eric Bledsoe,
Ingram, Lonzo. I think Bledsoe to start the season should come off the bench, and they should start JJ Redick.
you said the same thing this time last year. And that didn't
You can't keep dogging him like that.
I know, but I think Herrick will start. I know, I agree. The Bucks did lose Jrue Holiday to the Bucks, so they picked him up in that trade.
At the time of the deal, I hated. Did I mention I hated this deal?
Yeah, you did.
I love Jrue Holiday. I'm sort of glad that he's going. At least he's going to a place where there's the possibility of him getting, you know, getting a championship or getting a deep run into the playoffs. But, I absolutely hated this deal when it first came out.
I think it's changed the Bucks team. I don't know whether or not it's changed Giannis's mind, but I'm sure we'll talk about that.
I guess we'll find out.
The Nuggets then got – all they got was RJ Hampton out of this trade, which they must see something in him. Like, I mean, they're going off potential because he was top five pick coming out of high school.
That was a huge drop in him. But he didn't – I don't know. I don't think he produced as well over here than what a lot of people thought. Like, I'm pretty sure he was single digits point per game over here.
He was.
So I just – yeah, I don't think he really sort of lived up to the expectation of what he thought that he was going to be coming over here and playing in the NBL. So that obviously has affected his draft status. And you know, he's gone to a team like Denver where he's going to be, you know, very much in the background, you know, as in guard status there.
And then the Thunder picked up George Hill and a few players. They also picked up, you know, another 5,000 draft picks. So I think it's going to come to one of these seasons, the Thunder is literally going to pick from 1 to 30. Or 1 to 30.
Well, they could, they could possibly have, like, you know, they could have every lottery pick that's going around.
Yeah.
They could just start a whole brand new team.
I think they're going to.
There's going to be plenty of them playing in the G League.
Moving on. Portland did, you know, Enes Kanter went back there. This was a three-team trade, but yeah, basically the highlight of it was Enes Kanter going back to Portland.
That's a highlight, was it?
Well, not really. That's why I wanted to keep moving on.
Look, he had a good stint there when Jusuf Nurkić wasn't there. So yeah, he could be a solid bench player. He's a really good rebounder as well, and a really good offensive rebounder.
I think they're good friends too. I think I read somewhere. They're in the bubble. Possibly. So they were, so I guess, the standouts on the draft. Moving on to, it's funny, like, the, you know, last year, we looked at last year where all the free agents were just, it was unbelievable free agency frenzy. The trades were just, well, not all over the shop. It's just a lot of unexpected trades. I mean, probably starting with Chris Paul going to the Suns.
Yeah, and I guess the thing for me is, like, if he's, you know, he's coming to the back end of his career, I'm surprised that somebody took on that deal.
$41 million.
No, that's right, and it's back-ended as well. It's just, it just keeps going up. It's like the Westbrook deal. Like, you know, credit to Daryl Morey. You know, gets these players in, gets them paid, and then he's offloaded them.
Yeah.
So yeah. They're still going to get their money. But yeah, it's just a bit funny that Chris Paul would decide to go to a team like Phoenix, who is they're going to be a bottom feeder in the West. They just are.
They'll be hanging around that eight. I mean, really, I love Devin Booker, and I think on a great team he could be phenomenal. But you're right. They're going to be. There's too many teams in the West.
Yeah,
too many.
CP3 needed to go to a team in the East or to a contender.
I think you mentioned it before, but we mentioned Rubio going to the Timberwolves, but in that trade, Kelly Oubre did get traded to the Thunder, but he also now has been traded to the Warriors.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of a bit of a poor man's safety cover blanket for Klay Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a bad player. I think that's not too bad of a fit.
He might flourish in Golden State. Like they'll be, now that they've lost Klay, they'll be a bottom feeder as well. unfortunately for the playoff seedings.
Sorry, I did forgot with JaVale McGee. This was just we'll move on from this, but he did get traded from the Lakers to the Cavaliers, and we picked up Jordan Bell. So
that's a big upgrade.
Yeah.
That is a massive upgrade.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'm just sort of flicking. I mean, the most of these trades, the Hawks getting Deliano Gallinari. I think you like that as well.
Yeah, no, I like what Atlanta's done this year, you know, in this off season. So I think they've drastically improved and are now definitely a playoff contender.
And this has only happened recently. There's been obviously a couple of signing trades, but probably the biggest thing that's happened recently is the Rockets dealing Westbrook to the Wizards.
Yeah, that was, I guess there was sort of a lot of talk around who was going to get dealed, whether it was going to be Westbrook, whether it was going to be Harden, whether it was going to be both, you know, a complete and utter blow up of everything that's going on there at Houston. But like I said, you know, it's the like for like deal wise, yeah, that Washington had to throw in a first rounder. What does Houston look like now with John Wall, James Harden, and, you know, they've also picked up DeMarcus Cousins as well.
Yeah.
So whether he can stay healthy, like, boy, he must just be absolutely cursing the Sacramento Kings right now for dealing him, you know, was it day after All-Star or a couple of days after the All-Star game to New Orleans, and he just hasn't been the same since.
No. I think, just on that trade, I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, and he said it was actually draft night that he got whiff of this trade because both agents were talking about it, and then it sort of went quiet for a little bit. But I think, I still think Rockets have got moves to make. I still think that's going to happen. I don't see Harden staying there this year. I do not see it.
It could be a matter of how well they're going or how bad they're going, and if it looks like, yeah, it looks like that they're going to be, yeah, not in contention for a championship, which you know, that they thought that they had been over the last few years, and if it looks like they're going to be looking at that 5-8 range in the bottom end of the playoff standings, then and it'll be which team is going to go out there that may be a potential championship contender to go and trade for James Harden to put him over the edge.
Well, I have a trade deal for you later. But what do you think on the other side, the Wizards, with Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, David Bertans, Robin Lopez is also there now.
Yeah. So, I mean,
for an Eastern side, they could push the Magic out and make the eight.
Absolutely, they could.
So I don't mind it. I think we'll wait to see what happens between Westbrook.
Well, and that's the thing. They haven't had John Wall for the last 2 years. So to actually put a player that's going to come in there and contribute with Bradley Beal, that's going to be a pretty dynamic sort of backcourt there. And that's obviously going to be the fuel that fires them. That they'll be there or thereabouts, I think, in the playoff hunt.
I think they'll be in the playoff hunt. I mean, I don't think they're going to make noise in the playoffs, but it'll just be interesting to see how those two play together. I think everybody will be more interested to see what happens with James Harden and John Wall, personally. Because, yeah, I mean, no one's seen John Wall, really.
They're both super new combinations. How has John Wall sort of changed his game after not being around for the last 2 years? You know, is he going to like the way that James Harden sort of plays? So it's going to be very interesting to what happens there in Houston, and DeMarcus Cousins be healthy.
So just on that then, say it doesn't work out and James still wants to go. Where now that John Wall's there, essentially where does he go? Because he's still backtracked and said he still wants out.
And his supposed preferred destination is Brooklyn. That is never going to work. Oh my God, that is never going to work at Brooklyn. They'd have to give up so much for him. They'd have to empty their roster. And then all it's going to be is Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. They might have to throw him in the trade.
I doubt it. I don't know.
Houston aren't going to give him away for nothing.
No. You're right. I don't see that.
The King's ransom for him.
I don't see that happen. If you look at Anthony Davis, except for probably, a couple of sort of pieces, no one when they have these. One superstar getting traded for like five or six pieces. Not one team has come out of it better, ever. What? So the only way, and this can't work because of John Wall there. The only way I see it is on the 76ers side. You know, getting Ben Simmons for James Harden. But then Ben Simmons is and John Wall. I don't see them playing together.
Well, it'll just be a matter of whenever Wall and Simmons are on the court, then Ben Simmons will have to play up front.
I think, well, that would be the only, but then you got Christian Wood there. So I just, that's what I mean. Unless he sort of plays small forward, I don't know.
No, Christian Wood, you can play at center.
Yeah. I was going through and scanning like what trade ideas were out there for James Harden. There was a one, it's like a three-team trade that had and I don't know how you would do it. I can't remember where it was, but basically the Golden State Warriors were in that mix.
Who the hell are they giving up for James Harden?
I don't know. But it was like a three-way trade. I think, obviously Wiggins would be one, but the Rockets would have to like get a lot of different sort of people from somewhere else. I looked it up and I went, I don't know where he goes.
Like you said, it's got to be like for like. It's got to be superstar for superstar, and that very much shortens the amount of teams that he could go to, unless it's superstar for superstar and 1,000 picks.
And that means he could possibly be going
to a junk team.
And I think the 76ers are in a good spot because I think they're the only ones that know that they probably could trade for him because of that reason. And they could probably wait and sort of see what happens with Doc and the team that they have now. They might be good now, depending on what Doc does.
Might be.
I still think Ben Simmons is a great player. Ben Simmons, made All-Star last year.
That's fine. It's the fit. It's the team construct. That's the thing.
It is. So you, oh, you, but you're out on them. You're out in him and Embiid.
More shooting. Spread the floor. One's a slasher, and Embiid will bomb you down low. You'd have to go back and look at tapes from the mid '90s and late '90s to figure out a way to play somebody who's a low post threat like that, and then have somebody who's a slasher that they clog up the middle too much.
When you can't spread the floor,
they clog up the middle too much. You have to have guys coming out to the 3-point line, spreading the floor. You can go to work. You can stop the double team. You know, Simmons is amazing getting to the rack, but that's the thing. It's the double teaming of Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Then you've got to have guys that can punish you from the outside.
So you still, you're out, like, except for that, you're out, like, you don't see them together, Joel Embiid and...
I've got to wait. I was until the coaching change. You've got to see what a different philosophy in the team coaching ranks comes into and see how they're going to play this year.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'd have to just give Doc a chance and just see what he can actually do. That's right.
And he's a good coach, and you know, he's still sort of riding the coattails of that championship 11 years ago. So there's a lot of people out there that sort of seem to think that he might not be as good a coach as what everybody thinks he is, but I still think he's a very good coach.
I still think he's a very good coach, and I still think, you know, Daryl Morey is a very good GM too. You know, don't have to you just said it before.
Daryl Morey is not afraid to make deals.
And gets the guys he need, like you said, gets them the money, and then ships them when he doesn't need. So, you know, yeah, they...
Looks like it's gone pear-shaped, so righto, out the door.
So, the 76ers, to me, out of every team that's happened with these trades, and that'll be the... Even though they haven't done a lot, will be interesting. Purely just on coaching and GM.
They had potential last year, and they pooped all over themselves.
They did.
Well,
yeah,
they couldn't play on the road. They had an amazing home record. They were like they'd lost like three times at home, but they'd only won 10. They were like 10-27 on the road. It was brutal.
Poor Brett Brown.
That's right, exactly. He was here. He was made the scapegoat, wasn't he? It was all his fault.
Was there anything else you sort of wanted to touch on before we finish this up?
Like you said, you know, the big thing with Philadelphia was they got off the Al Horford deal.
Yes.
You know, him going to OKC.
Yeah.
Them getting Danny Green and Terrence Ferguson back. So I guess more shooting there with Danny Green, but everybody seems to be crucifying him at the moment for how he played with LA last year. Whether that was just one of those years where it was a little bit down. He's still a good defender. So that's, I mean, it's the more shooting factor for Philadelphia, and once again, Daryl Morey working the magic, getting off a pretty crummy contract, and I guess, you know, sort of changing, it's changing the dynamic of the team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was never we said this last year, the Al Horford going there was never, it was just the weirdest fit because you
had
Joel Embiid.
It was never about fit. I think it was all about Al Horford was the Joel Embiid stopper for Boston. I think it was acquiring him, so there was no Joel Embiid stopper.
Yeah, I know, but that's still a lot of money to...
Oh, no, exactly. Yeah, that's right. And if it worked out, it didn't work out. So they had to ship him off.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, that's exactly right.
The other deal that I thought was a little bit sort of significant with a few players that people might know was, yeah, the Landry Shamet. There's a three-way trade. Landry Shamet going to Brooklyn. Detroit getting the number 19 pick, which end up being Sadiq Bey, I'm not too sure about him, and Rodney Magruder, and the Clippers got Luke Kennard. So
yeah,
whether that's I guess a solid player for Detroit, but Brooklyn getting Landry Shamet is a good deal.
Yeah.
And whether or not now that they're very guard heavy at the moment, you know, with Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, now Landry Shamet, they're very, very guard heavy at the moment.
So I guess after all this, like I think we, it's pretty. We could probably have a go at least to sort of a thought now, like in who and of all the teams, we could probably combine it all together: the trade, the free agency, and the draft. Like who? Well, I'll just start from the start. Who do you think won? Like in terms of, well, if you put it all together, the draft probably don't really have to be in there, but free agency and trade, like there's a team that stood out to you that did well.
Atlanta.
Yeah. In probably not in so much in the trade, but I think they got what's
Sonic
the word?
Wise did terrific. Has put them in playoff contention. Got a few veteran guys there that'll help out the younger players that are there to help sort of help them develop. You can only assume that Trae Young is going to improve.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not as much of a brutal defender as what he's been, as what he's portrayed to have been last year. I like pretty much all of the moves that Atlanta done, and they've definitely shot themselves or given themselves a shot in the arm to get back into playoff contention where they've just been nowhere near. Since they sort of blew up the team with Budenholzer and Kyle Korver and Al Horford, Joe Johnson, and Paul Millsap, they had four All Stars in one team.
I also think with the Hawks, push now that they've got a decent side. This is for John Collins that he can sort of he doesn't have to worry about being the rebound heavy sort of star. He could sort of push him out and let him do his thing on offense because he is a great offensive player.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, you're right. I'd have to agree with that. I'd have to give. I don't know. I'd sort of, and this is only because we're upgrading. I'm only giving a special mention to the Lakers because we didn't get worse somehow.
Oh no, absolutely. The Lakers. The Lakers went from they've gone from strength to strength. Like they dabbled and they made some really good moves.
Well, we didn't mention because this happened early, but they picked up Dennis Schroeder as well in a trade. So
that was one of the very first deals that sort of come out in this. And I just thought that was when the rumor started flying around about that, I just had absolutely no idea why OKC would do this. Why?
Because
you're making better. They weren't getting any value for money back from the Lakers. Like the Lakers fleeced OKC for that deal. Fleeced.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Absolutely fleeced. That's like Boston fleecing Brooklyn by them taking on Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and getting all those draft picks back. That's close to it.
That was a
fleecing. It was disgusting.
Yeah. This was fleecing, but the reason that Kevin Garnett thing was fleecing only because they everybody regressed when they went to Brooklyn Nets.
Exactly.
It would have been
great.
They
all fell off a cliff. All of
Jason Terry. Yeah, they all did. That's the only reason. Otherwise, it could have been a stroke of genius, but it wasn't clearly.
They overpaid for them all. Yeah.
Well, but they had no choice. I think it was just at the time that I didn't think they had a choice. So, who do you think, I guess, lost free agency / trade? Which team didn't go anywhere?
Which team? There's plenty of teams that didn't go anywhere.
I guess what stood out for you? What team stood out when you stood back and go, what the hell did you just do?
Detroit.
Yeah. I swear they were drunk. They were okay at the draft, and then they started drinking some kind of Kool-Aid juice. Drinking New York Kool-Aid juice, and we need 5,000 centers.
I don't know what they're doing. That's what I mean. The only deal that sort of made not so much a little bit of sense, but that was good was the Jeremy Grant deal. Like it just
and
their
Killian
roster
Hayes.
At the moment is very 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 bizarre.
I think Killian Hayes was a good draft. I think they were pretty good in the draft.
Yeah,
but
that's right. I think they did well there, but it's just a that was a very strange. Why was Detroit a major player? Like I don't think they made themselves any better.
Well, yeah. No, I don't think so. You're gonna have a major play. Have a major play. Like they should have went for Fred VanVleet. That was my first thought for them.
Well, who's to say?
You had the cap space.
We don't know who the teams
but
that have come out. Like that's.
I know,
look,
but
a lot hinges on what? Yeah, they end up getting Josh Jackson, but a lot hinges on Blake Griffin. Can he stay healthy? Does he even want to be there? You know, they ended up getting Mason Plumlee and Jahlil Okafor. It's just such bizarre. Man, they signed LiAngelo Ball. Good grief.
Didn't they also signed was it Cody Zeller or someone like a ridiculously high contract as well? I'm sure they signed some ridiculous
at the moment.
Ridiculously high contract for a player where you just went, what the hell?
Not seeing Cody Zeller on the roster that I'm looking at the moment. They got DeLon Wright.
DeLon Wright.
Well, I mean, they're such mid-card moves. It's such a strange sort of looking lineup. I don't know what they were thinking.
Maybe it was Jahlil Okafor, and I just went, okay, what the hell? Yeah, it was probably Jahlil Okafor. No, Mason Plumlee.
It was like $2 million deal. So
did you mention Mason Plumlee?
Yeah, Mason Plumlee. Yep.
3 years, $25 million.
Yeah.
For a guy that couldn't even.
He was a solid fit at Denver. I think for me, if we want to go on a team, I think who lost in free agency, I think Denver.
Really?
I think they've regressed.
I think they see. I don't know. I think they did what they needed to do because I think they see. They've got their great too, and I think they see so much in Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, of course they do. He's going to keep his mouth shut.
He is their number three. Happy
in the role that he's in.
That's exactly right.
As The Rock says, know your role and shut your mouth.
I think that's exactly right. I think he's got to be happy that he's number three. And if he's not, then
he's got to prove that he can overtake Jokic and Jamal Murray. He's got to prove that. He's got to have an absolute explosion of a season this year. He's got to start averaging 20 plus, you know, 9, 10, 11 rebounds. He's got to prove that.
Yeah.
He can be all the potential in the world. He's got to go out there and prove that. He's still coming off the bench.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He's got to have one of those explosive seasons this year. But them losing Plumlee, them losing Jeremy Grant, they were shopping Gary Harris around. Nobody ended up taking him on. I think they've not so much they didn't go anywhere, but they were a team that needed to come out
and improve
a little bit to try and bolster their stand. They played really well last year. Where they ended up finishing third and made a good run into the Western Conference Finals, but it's just they didn't get no better.
No, yeah, I mean, like if you look at who they played in the finals, like Lakers somehow got better with considering the contracts and the pieces and the draft that they draft picks they don't have, they got better. So they got better. The three players they picked up, I know you sort of add a little bit of Montrezl Harrell, but he's still an upgrade.
Oh no, he's an upgrade. At the end
of the day, so from a JaVale McGee and a Dwight Howard, so
yeah, that's right. Like he can do a lot more than what they can.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Dennis Schroeder is going to be we have a very, very decent starting five now. It's actually, really, at the end of the day, it was just the two players that if they weren't good, we were no good. Now they don't have to rely so much on LeBron James, not straight away at least. Probably in the playoffs, different story, but not straight away.
No, they still will, but I think it'll just be. Yeah, it's sort of a like for like, point guard. I love Rajon Rondo. I love what he did, the year that he was in New Orleans, and I was filthy that he left to go to LA. But I think that's the only thing that they'll miss is his IQ, way that he runs that second unit. I think that's a big miss.
Yeah, and probably that little bit of leadership too around there. So, LeBron there, but I'm talking.
Yeah, that's secondly. LeBron's obviously number one, but he's probably one of the only guys on the roster that could probably tell him what to do. Do you know what I mean?
The way
that he wants. That he sees the court, that he sees the way that a game is going, and can make have a different opinion on how the game is going to be played.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what we were going to touch on for this one. We've probably got a bit, we've got a lot more to talk about that, but we were going to stretch it out to a second possible pod, I believe.
Yeah, I guess so. This is part one, you know, sort of free agency. and then, yeah, we'll sort of get into how the construct of the season is going to be this year. And there's been a lot of coaching changes. There's all sorts of things going on at the NBA on how that they're going to try and get this season to go through and run. So, yeah, this is part one on how the teams are going to be constructed. And then, yeah, I guess we'll stay tuned for part two. It'll be a totally different pod, but stay tuned for part two. We'll go through on how the league and how this season upcoming on how it's going to be constructed and how, you know, that they're going to try and get through this year and have it finished by July before the Olympics start. Yeah. So yeah, that's basically their big thing is having this season done before the Olympics come into consideration next year.
We might have to do it. Might have to do a quick pre during that. We might have to do a pre. You know, who we'll think will finish in Eastern and Western Conference top eights, and then, you know, throw out the MVPs and all that just to put them out there early.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because the East, you know, should be fairly easy to pick. The West,
the West is going to be brutal.
It's going to be, well, you could pick four. That's about it. Four or five, maybe.
The bottom four teams. That's going to be an absolute shit fight.
And we'll talk about that when we talk about like what's going to happen in those last two positions and your favorite two words play in. So.
Oh, get the F out of here.
Well, that'll do it for this
one.
You're
going to hear some fireworks when we start talking about that.
I can't wait. I'm going to drop play in just every so often just to see your face get redder.
Yeah, we'll go redder than this t-shirt that I'm wearing right now.
We may as well not call it a player. We may as well just call it the Zion rule. But anyway, because I still think it's called the Zion rule personally, but I know you don't want to think that. Well, you probably know it is that, but it's not the point.
No, it totally is. It totally is.
It is. Playing. Okay. Well, that'll do it. Just look at your face now. You're clicking over. You hate the two words. That'll do it for this week. I can't help it. I can't even say anything. For the NBA part one. Don't forget to follow us on our social, Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook Final Play Podcast, where you'll get all our podcasts from Spotify, Podbean, SoundCloud. All the links will be there, along with checking out our podcast as well on gimco.com.au, where there's plenty of play-ins in there.
Oh, yeah.
We'll play play-ins for cards.
Card-ins.
No, that's what they should do. You should have.
Well, it's not play-ins. It's buy-ins for cards.
They should have the last spot. If you were like struggling in the last spot, they should have a card in and just you've got to put whoever puts the most money in. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that'd be real good.
A card in.
Yeah.
Oh, you love it. No, you don't. You actually hate it. You are seething over it. I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but you think it is a ridiculous concept.
Don't you? I
know. Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, it is. It's rewarding, like you said, rewarding mediocrity. That's it. That's all that's rewarding.
Ridiculous.
Well, stay tuned for part two. I'm going to sign off as what you think I'm going to sign off with. That's Jason playing Smith.
All right, I'm Miles FU playing Smith. Just forget it. It's fine. It's got me worked up already.
Do not see how ready he has. He's got his face is clicking over. He hates those. He will never use the words playing in the same sentence up until this last pod. That'll be the last time.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.
Playing.